From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome, Bill Michaels Show is on the air, and we are having a good day today. Hopefully you are as well. Brewers and Cubs underway, and we'll make some reference points to that coming up a little bit later on in the program. Also, you're going to hear from Mike McCarthy, but let's do this. Joining us now, Paul Immig, our green and gold analyst on the Schneider Orange Hotline. How you doing, Paul?
Bill, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's first of all start with HaHa Clinton Dix. We talked about him a little bit earlier in the program today, and he had some time off because of his the passing of his godmother. According to Rob Domofsky, he kind of, when asked about his contract, gave him a wink. And I had said, look, if you're off because of a family member passing, no problem. If you're out there because of contract issues, I don't begrudge you to get the money. The one thing that can become an issue is if he doesn't play well again this year, and let's say he does get a contract extension at some point. Once you get that extension and you give the wink and a nod, the crosshairs then squarely, become you. How much better do you think he's going to be with Mike Pettine now at the helm and not the same old from Dom Capers?
Well, I know he's been talking about feeling like he'll be able to be more free in this Mike Pettine defense, but I just want to take a quick step back, Bill, and say that the Clinton Dix story yesterday was one of the stranger ones, unexpected ones, with different versions of the same story that I can remember in recent memory, where, you first see, okay, Clinton Dix stands in front of the media at his locker and explains that he wasn't there because of the death of his godmother or grandmother, I forget which, and then he starts being asked more and more about it. And I also read Michael Cohen's story in PackersNews.com and the Journal Sentinel, and he had the same take on it as Rob Domofsky on ESPN.com, and it was just fascinating. Like, you could have, if things would have just stopped at his initial explanation, that would have been that. And, because you and I talked about and sort of softly speculated about maybe the reasons, and maybe there were multiple reasons. But then as he kind of got interrogated and further questioned a little bit more by reporters up in Green Bay yesterday, a lot more was revealed. And that he went into how, if he had workout bonuses in his contract, he would have been there last week, regardless of anything else happening in his life. And that, that wink, wink, the contract didn't have anything to do with him not being there. Wink, wink. Like, just a fascinating, bizarre story and twist and turn on that. Now, I'll get back to you. I mean, I don't know if you want to divulge any more into that, but that was just, for me, I was like, wow, what is going on with this guy to kind of give kind of two different responses to the same question? In terms of his play, Bill, he's the fifth year starter on this team. He's been a starter since day one. He's always had Morgan Burnett back there with him as a safety blanket and as something that he can rely upon if he gets lost or if he has a question or if something is going wrong. And now that he's the fifth-year player and someone like Josh Jones is a second-year player as his safety starting counterpart, he has to be the leader back there. And I know that, he went through all of the stuff about he was having all of the practice clips sent to his team iPad, and he watched everything, and he was able to touch base with Joe Witt or Mike Pettine when needed. There were so many variables to this that, was he upset that his fifth-year option was picked up by the Packers? No workout bonuses and all these different things. But again, at the end of the day, to be cliche and phrase it that way, at the end of the day, if he goes back to the player he was in 2016 and before, no one's going to care. If he goes out and puts on film what he did last year, including a complete no-show week 17 in Detroit, we're all going to kind of come back to this moment and say, is this where it started? Or is this like, did it build upon that fact? So many layers to that, Bill. I'll stop there, and I'll let me know if you want to go any further with it.
No, I completely agree. I thought, you know, look, if we just want to call it what it is, this is what I feel. The bottom line is, if you had a family member pass, and that is your focus, I would never begrudge you anything. Okay, go do what you got to do. Be with your family. Absolutely. But I agree. When he started getting into other things, and it sounded like had he been paid, he'd have been there. I don't want to put words in his mouth because I don't know what's going through his head. He could be just talking off the top of his head and kind of saying some things that in reality maybe you mean or don't mean, or it just gets taken poorly. But it came off to me like, you know, hey, my godmother meant a lot to me. But had I had a better contract, I'd have been here. You know, that's what it kind of came off
right,
like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because you never make light in any essence of a death in the family. But there was just something to that that just said to me, okay, this just doesn't sit right. And I hope I'm reading it wrong, I guess is the best way to put it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I think the bigger point to this whole thing is the Packers defense needs him to be a really good player. You know, and if he wants to talk about contracts and other things, he needs to have a really good year. Because whether he's with Green Bay in 2019 or he's with another team, his performance this season is going to have a huge impact on that, obviously, to say the least. And so if you just want to take it in a one-year vacuum and just look at what 2018 means to both parties, both the Packers and himself personally, the team needs him to be a really good player. They really, really do. Not just from like a typical box score production type of thing, but from a leadership perspective and from a communication perspective. And if he does that, if he does go back to his 2015, 2016 type of performances, he's going to get paid, you know, and the Packers are going to be crazy to let him go. But again, if it's a two-year trend in the negative direction, beginning with 2017 and his performance last season, you know, then how do you give the guy a big money contract, whether you're Green Bay or anybody else? So for the Packers defense in 2018 and for his long-term future in the league and how much he's going to make in the future, needless to say, a huge, huge year in the life and career of Ha Ha Clinton Dix.
Would you pay him or renegotiate that deal or extend him now?
From a team-friendly perspective, sure. You know, like, I don't think, first off, I would say I don't think that's happening. I don't foresee that being what happens. I think he's going to play out the year, and then what happens, happens. But I don't think you are, if you are Brian Gutekunst and Russ Ball, and you're looking at the situation, you don't really have his replacement in-house, whereas I think we all thought, and then it became more and more clear, Josh Jones was drafted to be the Morgan Burnett replacement. And that never became more clear than when we saw the final contract details on the contract that Burnett signed this offseason with Pittsburgh. Very small money compared to what we all thought he was going to sign for, and what even all of the national contract websites like SportsRack and all the other ones projected him to be worth, and the Packers still didn't get engaged with him, you know, from a new contract. So Josh Jones was the replacement there. There's not that guy to replace Clinton Dix next year currently in-house if things don't get worked out, you know, in the next, 10, 8, 9 months. Sure, of course, you want to. I think he's a good player, but I think he has a lot to prove that that 2017 was not what he's going to look like in 2018.
Moving on, we were listening to Mike Clemens a little while ago, and Mike had made the comment that, you know, Brett Hundley still kind of looks like Brett Hundley. What do you do with Brett Hundley at this point? I mean, you're not going to cut him, are you?
If he clearly, definitively loses the number two quarterback job to DeShone Kizer in training camp, which I suspect he will, I think Kizer is their guy. I mean, pending Kizer showing up to training camp and preseason and just being awful, I think that's Kizer's job to lose. I know other people feel differently about it. I think it's Kizer's job to lose. Having said that, with Hundley, I don't think they're going to – I mean, Bill, we're so far away from having to make this prediction, and so far away from Brian Gutekunst having to make this call. I mean, 70 to 80 days away from final roster cut. So there's so much still to be unfolded, but I don't think they're going to keep three quarterbacks. I mean, unless really it's a nominal difference between, you know, keeping an extra linebacker or keeping a third quarterback. But I think in the past, again, this is the Ted Thompson regime, so that was a different time. But, yeah, there were times going back to when Tolzien was kept as a third guy, and there was a couple years there where that happened. But mostly you don't keep three quarterbacks. Does he have any trade value? I mean, is he even worth, you know, a sixth or seventh round pick to a team that would want him as the number two? I don't even know. I would think he's worth a sixth or a seventh rather than just cutting him outright. But, again, that's nowhere near the return on investment that Ted Thompson thought they would likely get one day when they traded up to get him in the fifth.
Talking with Paul Imig, our Green and Gold analyst, and now looking at the rest of this team, I know there's been some, for lack of a better term, accountability when it comes from the defensive side of the football and Mike Pettine. Look, on paper and in sound, it all sounds great. In reality, for what they've done, I was asked this last week. They said, okay, look, if you want a top 10 defense, has Gutekunst put together a top 10 defense? If you had to answer that question today, do you think with the addition of Mike Pettine, who has had top 10 success, they have put together a top 10 defense?
I could not commit to top 10. I could commit to top half. You know, if you said top 16, I would say yes. If you said top 10, I would say no. There's, you know, we talk about Clinton Dix needing a bounce back year. Mo Wilkerson needs a bounce back year. Is he the guy he was pre-major contract with the Jets, or is he what he was the past couple of years, which is still a good player, but nowhere near the difference maker that he was? How quickly do the rookie cornerbacks in the first and second round with Jaire Alexander and Josh Jackson, how quickly do they acclimate? Can Tremon Williams somehow continue to defy age and defy, you know, everything that most cornerbacks at a skill position like that aren't able to do? For anybody who, you know, I'm assuming didn't watch a bunch of Tremon Williams' Arizona Cardinals film from last year, I mean, this guy was really good and somehow still really doing a good job when he was 34 years old with Arizona. If he can still be that player in 2018 at his age now, you can, you know, you can have more time for not only Alexander and Josh Jackson to develop, but also for Kevin King, a second-year player coming off a pretty major surgery on his shoulder, coming back and not having to be pressed into too significant a duty. So I look at the additions of Mo Wilkerson and Tremon Williams, and I say, like, those are clearly two major wild cards, not to mention the development of three extremely young corners, including second-year player Kevin King. So top 10 is asking a lot. You know, that's a major, major turnaround. But if Pettine makes the difference that I think he will, I think I'm on the optimistic side of what Pettine will mean to this defense. And if, you know, new guys, new additions, not just in free agency with Wilkerson and with Tremon Williams, but also, as mentioned, the young rookies, especially at the corner position, I think they're a top half-ish defense, you know, as constituted today. But again, there's so many wild cards and so many factors, including Pettine's presence in this whole thing, that could sway that. The top 10, Bill, I think it'd be apprehensive to go that far right now.
Yeah, I don't think they're top 10, but I think they can they can get into the top 15, and I certainly think that they're going to be good enough to sustain. Paul, we'll talk again later in the week, okay?
Sounds great, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Imig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends over at Cousin Subs. And Cousin Subs want to remind you that they want to send you to Summerfest in style like a VIP. Go to cousinsubs.com/biggiggiveaway. cousinsubs.com/biggiggiveaway. And you may be seeing one of the concerts that you really want to see in style. A couple of tickets, parking passes, gift cards, all that kind of good stuff. Treated like a VIP. All from Cousin Subs. Again, go to cousinsubs.com/biggiggiveaway. Fill out the information. Pick the concert you want to see. Who knows? You could go as a VIP. Good stuff right then and there coming to you from Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. And Cousin Subs, don't forget, also the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. When we come back, we'll hear from Tiger Woods coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
My lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Such a sexy, pretty little thing. This April bitch, you got me sprung with your tongue ring. And I ain't gonna lie.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show on the air. Good day to you. Good day to you. Tonight, gonna be a good night, as a matter of fact. Budweiser Pavilion, looking forward to Wednesday Night Live. The toys are going to be on the stage out there tonight. Free admission. Cars park for $6. Motorcycles for free. Should be a good time tonight. It's all brought to you by Bud Light. Hey, speaking of good times and great weather, hoping for really good weather, as I know there's supposed to be a couple of showers in the area, but it's supposed to be spotty at best. But coming up this Friday night, we have our run walk, and you can still register. Friday night, 84, a few clouds in the area, a chance of an afternoon shower, but that's about the extent of it, so it looks like it's going to be pretty good weather. Polish Fest gets underway down at the Summerfest grounds, at the Meyer Festival grounds in downtown Milwaukee. If you're coming from any part of the state, should be a lot of fun, but we have our run walk coming up on Friday night. You can go to polishfest.org, polishfest.org. Make sure you put in the org. Polishfest.com doesn't work. Polishfest.org. And you can see all the information. Get registered. We're looking for about 2,300 to 2,500 runners and walkers. We'd love to get to 3,000. I mean, for all of you within the sound of my voice, if you could come out and do something great in helping feed the hungry, that would be fantastic. But we're shooting for 2,300, 2,500 people, and it's the biggest fundraiser of the year for St. Ben's Community Meal and the House of Peace, and we're really looking forward to it. As always, I think this is my 12th year for this event, my 12th year of the Big Units Run Walk to Polish Fest, and man, I can't say thanks enough to everybody that's joined us over the years, and again, we can't do it without you. So come on out and join us this upcoming Friday night. Tiger Woods said he missed playing in the U.S. Open. Take a listen.
Missed playing the U.S. Open. It's meant so much to me in my career, and to have won it 9 times is pretty special. So looking forward to playing this week. This will be another fun test.
So then Tiger says, hey, golf. When you talk about the game of golf, we've all been there. If you've ever played golf, you know what it can be. You can make one shot, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm on top of the world. I'm feeling it. It's great. And the next time you take a swing, you have completely lost your game. Golf is always frustrating.
Golf is always frustrating. There's always something that isn't quite right, and that's where we as players have to make the adjustments. There's always something. Hopefully that this is one of those weeks where I put it all together, and we'll see what happens.
So one of the biggest pieces of news that has come out during the U.S. Open week, and actually it happened last week, but it's Tiger's yacht. In case you didn't know or see, but he's got a yacht that is enormous. Now, it was funny because there was a person that was out on the water, Janice D'Angelo, and she's got a 61-foot boat that she says is tiny compared to his. The yacht club where Tiger has docked his yacht, because he wanted to stay in familiar quarters rather than staying in a hotel, he brought the yacht. It's not far. It's 15 miles from Shinnecock, okay? So he brought the yacht up. With the yacht is named Privacy, by the way. So anyway, long story short, some people said, Tiger, you got 5 bedrooms, a gym, a staff of 8. It cost you a little over $1,000 a day to dock this thing and all the gas and electricity you're using. And he says, yeah, it's kind of a dinghy.
Yeah, staying on the dinghy helps. There are a few guys so far this week have said it's taken them from the hotel 2.5 to 3 hours. You get a little traffic, you get maybe a little fender bender. I mean, it's not inconceivable someone could miss their time.
Okay. So listen to this. I want you to play this again, Joe. This is how everybody is when it comes to the tension in the air regarding Tiger. He makes a joke here, and there is no sound. Listen.
Yeah, staying on the dinghy helps.
Nothing.
A few guys so far this week have said it.
Nothing. Nobody laughs. He's staying on a dinghy. It's a 150-foot boat, 5 bedrooms. I mean, it's ginormous.
$20 million it cost him.
Yeah, that's why they go in. Can you believe he's paying $1,500 a day? Some people pay that for a hotel room. And he brings his yacht up. Who cares? Why do people make such a big deal about it? A $20 million price tag, not counting the $2 million a year in operating costs. He tried to get rid of it. He tried to give it to Elon, and Elon didn't want it. So he's like, okay, I'll keep it. Can you imagine that? It accommodates 10 guests, 4 rooms for the crew. It's huge. It's huge. 5 staterooms, and because there's a crew of 9 that runs the ship. They call it a ship in the article, by the way. An 8-person hot tub, kayaks, scooters. It carries jet skis, a smaller boat, a full gym, a sports room, which is kind of considered like a sports bar, I guess. All on this thing. Docking fees determined by the size of the boat, and the Sag Harbor Yacht Club charges daily $7 per foot, according to the woman who answered the phone at the yacht club. So it ends up being about $1,000 a day if you do the math. It's huge. It's funny because this big yacht, this pretty big yacht, is parked next to it, and it looks like a turd. It just does. How would you like to have the biggest yacht in the yacht club? Like, yeah, yeah. Oh, I drink with my pinky out. I've got my sweater over my shoulders. The arms are folded into one another. I'm wearing a captain's hat, and I feel like I'm missing only Tennille. Yes. And then that thing pulls in, and just all of a sudden you're in the shadows. Hey, is somebody blocking the sun? No, it's Tiger. Oh, I'm mere a tick turd on the life of the fly of the butt. That's it. Oh, boy. So there you have it. Anyway, Tiger Woods at the U.S. Open, also staying on his dinghy helps. And nobody laughs. I can't believe that. How does nobody laugh at Tiger?
Well, maybe he'll actually give him an advantage if a lot of these golfers have to commute 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? Maybe Tiger's just got the right idea. What if Tiger's inviting any of the other golfers over? Hey, come on over.
Well, I'm sure he'll invite Stricker. Because Steve Stricker is good friends with Tiger. He was actually practicing with Tiger the other day at Shinnecock. And there was another guy there that was spotted with Stricker and Tiger.
Who would that be?
And that man won 2 U.S. Opens. And
he will be here.
He'll join us tomorrow.
He will be here. Do I dare say that would be the Andy North?
Andy North.
Andy North will be on the program tomorrow.
Andy North will also be playing in the Celebrity Foursome next week in Madison at the MFAM Championship, which is the new Champions Tour stop, which is really cool because it's going to be another great field. But it's going to be North, Favre, Derek Jeter, and Lee Trevino. That's the Celebrity Foursome.
That should be
this
a
year.
Cool foursome. You so, taking off for that this year? You heading out there?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there Saturday and Sunday. I'm not going Friday.
Okay.
Because I'm going to work. Okay. Unless I can convince the boss to still comp me a work day if I go there Friday. But
there you go. No,
Saturday and Sunday, I will be out there from sunrise to sunset.
Okay.
It's going to be a great field. I mean, Stricker is going to be playing because now he's on the Champions Tour. He's eligible, but he'll be at the U.S. Open this week. You know, you're going to see everyone from like John Daly, Miguel Angel Jimenez, Jerry Kelly, another Wisconsin guy playing, Kenny Perry. Kenny Perry, I think, is playing at the U.S. Open too this week.
That's Kenny Perry, not Katy Perry.
No, Kenny Perry. And then another guy playing in the field who's going to join us tomorrow as well, in addition to Andy North, British Open champ Tom Lehman.
Tom Lehman will be here. We are loaded with championship pedigree.
Probably the first time ever we've had two golfers on in the same show. But yeah,
and two champions on.
Yeah, two major champions. So yeah, Tom Lehman will join us tomorrow as well. So that should be good.
Big time. Good stuff there. Good. Very good. Anyway, there you have it. So all fired up about that. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a good one. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back. Anything from Mike McCarthy yet? He has not spoken? Okay. He's kind of speaking, but he's doing it. I think Mike Clemens is now in his car with him, probably riding back over to Lambeau Field, as Mike, we all know, can disguise himself as a back seat pretty good. So he's probably got a cloth over him. He's down on the floorboards or something like that. So we'll touch base on that. Also, we have another cigar dinner to promote. I want to let you know we are coming to an area near you. Another one has just been released. Also, we're going to talk some Wisconsin Badger football and why this is big coming up next on the Bill Michael Show.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show, we are on the air. Couple of pieces of information for you. I want to let you know that coming to the Chippewa Valley, I love it up there. I so do. I love getting up there and hanging out and the golf course and such, and taking the Old Abe Trail up near Chippewa Falls and riding the bike. But the cigar dinner that is about to take place is going to be July 26th, Thursday night, and I'm pained that I can't make it. They're going to have a great speaker. I know that. And as soon as I find out who it is, I'll let you know. But Tobacco Outlet Plus, Quick Trip, our friends there, and also Alec Bradley, the cigar vendor, they're all going to be there. And they're putting this thing together, and these dinners are fantastic. They sell out. Please do not let my absence deter you from going. But they are going to be doing this coming up Thursday night, July 26th. If you would like tickets, go to Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery, the stores on Birch Street in Eau Claire, or Prairie View Road in Chippewa Falls, and head over there. Great place, great time. They're going to do it at the Chippewa River Distillery, which is a terrific place within itself. I have not been there, but I've had a couple people that when I've asked about it that have given me nothing but rave reviews. It should be great. You get a couple of cocktails, your dinner, your raffle tickets. You get some cigars with that, all for free, some great stories along the way. They're going to do chicken breast and prime rib and garlic mashed. I mean, just it's going to be a great time. I encourage you to go get your tickets. However, and I want to get this made a note to, I will be in La Crosse on Thursday night, August 2nd, for the same thing. We're going to be at Shenanigans on Dawson Avenue in La Crosse. We're coming to La Crosse. So our guys in the morning out there, Scrady and those guys, can't wait to see them. But I'm coming to La Crosse. I'll be out there August 2nd, Thursday night, August 2nd, for the cigar dinner. And I know we're not to promote it yet, but I'm excited because it's going to be a lot of fun. And I know they have the Tobacco Outlet Plus out there on Highway 157 in La Crosse. You can start getting tickets there for that event, but I'm going to be coming to La Crosse. So go out and support the one in Eau Claire. I'll see you in La Crosse. And I know I have one coming up in Wausau. I know there's going to be one in Green Bay. Can't make that one, but it's going to be a dynamite one. Wayne Larrivee, the voice of the Green Bay Packers, is going to be there for that one. They've got some more going on, but we're really starting to make the tour, and these things go like that. They go really quick, so looking forward to it. So La Crosse and Eau Claire, we're coming to the western portion of the state, and I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'll tell you what, it is a coup. It may not seem like a big deal to you, but it is. Graham Mertz, and in case you didn't know that name, you're probably not a Wisconsin Badger fans, but Graham Mertz, we talked about this last week. He had an official visit with Wisconsin, and he is being recruited by Ohio State, by Alabama, by Clemson, by Georgia. You can start by Michigan. You can start going through all the big time schools, and Wisconsin's the one he wants to go to, or at least seemingly wants to go to, coming up all Big W right now. Feeling good about it.
Yeah, he tweeted out on his Twitter account yesterday. He made the formal visit to Madison, and there he is, in front of the W, in a Badger uniform.
Yep.
He's got a number, and he said, hashtag on Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I know he hasn't signed on the dotted line just yet, but I think Graham Mertz is going to be playing for the Badgers.
But if he ends up playing for the Badgers, and he now, if he, one, plays for the Badgers, two, plays really well for the Badgers, and raises that level, a kid like that who is so vaunted coming to your system can begin that trickle effect if you have success in bringing some more of those top recruits. And that would be a big, big, big feather in the cap of Paul Chris. Now, who is this reporter, Joe? Do you know? Is this some student?
I don't know who this guy is. I honestly, I feel bad for him because he clearly needs some work when it comes to interviewing. And believe me, interviewing people is not an easy thing to do, especially when you're doing it face-to-face. So Mertz has been doing some traveling lately. He was down in Georgia at a spring camp. It was just something he wanted to do. And so this Michigan kid interviewed him. And I don't know, do you want me to play the whole thing? It's about 2 minutes.
Let's just play it because it's goofy.
Okay, so this starts off with them talking about Wisconsin, and then he brings up Michigan, and would Mertz have any interest playing at Michigan? And Mertz tells him specifically, there's one thing that he really doesn't have interest in that would allow him to go to Michigan, and yet this reporter just keeps asking him about it. Take a listen.
Now you've been committed to the Badgers here, right, for a little bit. I mean, what's sort of been the latest there? Have you been going up for any visits lately? And what's the contact been with Wisconsin?
Yeah, so I've been to Wisconsin once. I'm going back for my official, like the spring official or whatever that is.
Right.
I don't know what the date is, but it's coming up in like 2 or 3 weeks. And then we just stopped by Georgia yesterday just because we're down here. We had an extra day.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Wisconsin. What are you going to be looking for on that trip? Obviously, it's going to be the first time. You know, is it going to be the first time going back as an actual commit? I mean, how is that? How are you going to, you know, what's your sort of your frame of mind heading into that trip?
For the official?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was down there like 2 weeks ago. So okay. That was good. And we were there with a couple more commits. But they're going to get all the commits down there for the official, so that'll be a cool experience.
Okay, and you just went to Georgia. I mean, what was the reasoning behind that? And what'd you check out for that trip?
I just love ball. I wanted to see some spring ball and see how Justin Fields and Jake Fromm went after it.
All right, and I overheard a prior conversation you were having here. I heard Michigan. I heard that's a school that's showing you some interest. I mean, which coaches have you been talking to?
I talk with Coach Pep and Coach Harbaugh a ton. They contact me every week, and we talk every once in a while. So I've heard a lot from them.
What is sort of their interest? What's sort of their message to you?
Yeah, they want two quarterbacks in this class, and personally, I don't see myself going into a two quarterback system. But it's always interesting to hear what coaches have to say.
Are they trying to get you to come up for a visit?
Yeah, they're trying real hard to get me to come up for a visit.
And I know their spring game. I believe it's on April 15th. Is that something that you would entertain?
I don't think I might be at the other opening for that weekend, so I don't know if that will work out.
Okay, and then is it something that you are thinking about maybe going up to Ann Arbor for a trip or no?
Yeah, there's something in my family that might be up there, so we might be heading up there soon.
If you were to do it, would it be during the summer? Or do you think?
I think so.
Okay, I'll just ask you this. If you were to go, I mean, what would you want to see on that trip?
Just how they interact. Well, it wouldn't be in the spring, so it'd be more of like a camp situation. But I wouldn't be camping, I don't think. So it'd be more how the coaches react or interact with me and how we do in person. Because I've seen them in person like once, but not like on the campus, I guess. And just the whole experience of Ann Arbor and how it is.
Jeez. First of all, if that kid is going to get into this business, okay, look, we all have something at some point when we're doing an interview that can grab our attention, that can make us pause for a moment to gather our thoughts and stutter. I've done it. Joe, you've done it. I have gotten in the middle of an interview.
Me?
I have gotten texts, important texts, you know, from a family member. Something's happened. You got to keep your composure. You keep on moving on. That kid sounds like a naked woman is dancing behind Mertz, and he can't keep his attention at all. Like, she's doing, like, cartwheels or standing on her head, and suddenly he can't see her face or something. He's got a little polish to do. It's not as easy as it looks. Sometimes people go, I can do that. I said, okay, you interview me. And then they look at you and go, well, how'd you get into business? Which is a legitimate question, but that's always the question. You know, so anyway, both of them. I feel sorry for both of them.
Well, Mertz, I thought, handled it well. And
he did. He's got some chops to him, too. I tell you what, I was just going out. I was balling. Just like balling. Yeah, I want to see how the other guys are doing, but I'm balling. Yeah, how are we looking? On Wisconsin.
So you think you're going to be going to a camp this summer?
I'm just going to go there and beat up that beaver, and how are we looking?
No, I like when he said, when this kid asked him about, you know, would you still go to the camp? And he's like, well, you know, maybe a family member of mine will be there, but I'm not going to be there.
I'm not going to be there. Camp, I'm all about s'mores.
So
you know?
Harbaugh is calling him every week.
I'm going to beat up that Wolverine. I'm going to pound the bulldog.
But see, doesn't that feel, Bill, doesn't that feel good, though?
I'm a Badger now.
When you've got a kid, a highly sought kid, and he's being recruited by everybody, but when he says no way to Michigan and says yes to Wisconsin,
correct,
that's always a good feeling.
Correct.
No, always a good feeling.
Completely agree. I've got that split bias. So as even a Buckeye fan, I like what he had to say. So there you have it. 855-830-8648. We can wrap things up. Coming up next to the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, to the program. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad to have you. I'll tell you what. Brewers can't get him in, man. I'm gonna just start yanking my hair out. I really am. Just going to yank my hair out. One out. Hernan Perez strikes out. Ball is dropped. Runs to first. Overthrow. Ends up on second. Steals second. And then, or steals third, I should say. On third, one out. All you got to do is lift the fly ball up. Just get one. And then Kratz goes to right. Spectacular play. And now two outs. And Hernan Perez is standing at third base, 90 feet away. And let's see if they can get that run in. But, man, you get opportunities like that. Just poof. And Orlando Arcia. Just an FYI. At the plate. What does that tell you? 855-830-8640. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to have a good one for you. We're going to be talking some Brewers baseball, wrapping up this series. We're going to talk baseball with Richard Justice from MLB.com. And tomorrow, we should just call this like Championship Thursday. Andy North, two-time U.S. Open champion, also U.S. Open champion, Tom Lehman.
British Open.
Tom Lehman is going to be here as well. It is Championship Thursday coming up tomorrow as we get ready for the U.S. Open. U.S. updates from the U.S. Open as well. So we're really looking forward to all of this. It's going to be a good time tomorrow. And I want to remind you again, and I had a couple people that had emailed me in regards to the Polish Fest stuff. It is at polishfest.org. We have our Run Walk for the Hungry coming up on Friday night, and it is two courses. If you're a runner, yes, it is an officially chip-timed 5K. And as a walker, it is just a couple of miles, and you get a chance to go out around the island and the state park area, and it's a beautiful, beautiful walk and a lot of fun. And so the bottom line is it's going to be a good time. We're going to have a lot of fun. And hopefully you can come out and join us because it's the biggest fundraiser for St. Ben's Community Meal in the House of Peace all season long. And they have been helping feed the hungry for a long time. So it's what they need. They need it. They can't do this without you. So come on out this coming Friday night and join us as we try to help feed the hungry and do something great for the community and have a lot of fun in doing so. And plus it gets you free admission to Polish Fest all weekend long. So there you have it. That's coming up Friday night. If you want to find out more information and get registered, whether it's just yourself, a couple of people, a team, a group of people, friends or what have you, there's different rates for like if you get a group together. But nevertheless, you can still come out and go to polishfest.org. That is polishfest.org. And get yourself all registered. And then we'll see you down there this coming Friday night. We all gather on what is the E-Line stage. It used to be the Pottawatomie Bingo Casino stage down at Summerfest. Now I believe it's called the E-Line stage, if I'm not mistaken. But it's the big one under the cover, so you'll know where we're at. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And then we get out, we give away some prizes, and then we get you on your way. And you get out and enjoy Polish Fest. You can do it all weekend long. Looks like the weather's going to be pretty cooperative. You can bring Dad down. Father's Day weekend, by the way, Orlando Arcia ground out. Little ground ball to second. Run stranded at third. There you have it. And like I said, coming up tomorrow on the program, a lot of good stuff, and it's going to be a Championship Thursday. We'll really get into recapping the series between the Brewers and the Cubs, and I really want to get into the U.S. Open. I don't know. We'll talk more about it. I mean, as far as the casual golf enthusiast, or maybe somebody that's not even a golf enthusiast, are you like a horse racing enthusiast when it comes to just merely the Triple Crown? The big races, because I don't think there's a whole lot of horse race bettors that are in the area, but you know, people get involved in a Triple Crown. They get all geeked up for the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont Stakes and the Preakness. Okay, great. But it's kind of like the golf fan. You're only a golf fan for the majors, for the Masters, for the U.S. Open, the British Open, and the PGA Championship. So we'll get into that discussion a little bit tomorrow as well and kind of go from there. But that's it. Good day today. Good stuff today. Now, did they ever figure out, Joe, what that? For those that don't know, our lights went out. We've been in the dark, short of our generator running the radio station and our studios. Everything in the building's done. Is there like a big accident somewhere? I didn't hear any sirens or anything like that. Then again, we're kind of in a soundproof area, but people running. Our staff is outside playing football. They're all going to lunch. Nobody's around. We're sitting here in the dark. Still got enough power to run our television. Surprised the rest of the staff isn't in here watching the Brewers game. Brewers Cubs scoreless. We'll talk about that coming up tomorrow. Time for us to go. Have a good one.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.